The neat thing about Mom's prophecy this morning, as I was doing my my morning offerings, I got disciplines in the morning and at night that I'm supposed to do. I call them a morning and an evening offering. So here I'm speaking in tongues, doing my thing, and somebody asked for help. This is not the teaching. And they're in a bad spot. And okay, all right, here I am. I should be in a pretty good mood, you know, when I'm speaking in tongues for 25 minutes. And I went to record a prayer, and I started praying. And I wasn't even, it was different this time. Instead of going praying for the people that needed help, my heart was, who is Yahweh? The heaven of the heavens cannot hold him. Who is this Elohim? And who are we talking about? Father. And then my heart just broke. I'm coming to who? You. Then and then I got no place even addressing you if it wasn't for your son. And then my heart was just going, and this whole thing reminded me. It could have something to do with me reading 2 Chronicles. It could have. But all, my heart was just, who are you? Here I am, and then here are these people. And while I'm praying for them, a prophecy started coming out, which was incredible. You reject speaking in tongues? I know one of them doesn't. You reject speaking in tongues because it doesn't make sense and it looks foolish. Yahweh against the haughty he arrayeth himself, but unto the lowly giveth favor. Be made lowly therefore, so he can lift you up in due season. What's speaking in tongues? It is foolish to the natural man. It's ridiculous. They've always mocked it. But as these words are coming out, the rest of it came in. And how foolish is circumcision? For a 100-year-old man to cut off his foreskin, and now you can't be in the... You have no place with Yahweh unless you cut it off. What do we got to do? Christians today got zero commitment. Hebrews, you had to do something, and you're not a Hebrew. Pull your pants down. I knew it. He's not going to pull his pants down. You figure out that quick. Was that a commitment?
Yeah.
It was a shedding of blood. Did it make sense?
No.
But the Hebrews did it, and some of them maybe they did it for tradition, but it made no sense for the circumcisions. And we know how painful circumcision was when Dana was raped, and her brothers are going to murder the guys, a family. And he said, unless you guys get circumcised, you can't do it. And the two guys, it didn't say, they could have accomplices, it didn't say that. Two of her brothers kill a whole tribe because they're in so much pain. And then Joshua, when they crossed the Jordan, circumcise them. That doesn't make sense, man. Humble yourself. And Yahweh, on the day of Pentecost, Yehoshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ the Anointed, was the perfect sacrifice. Right? Did Yahweh accept that sacrifice?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But then he told 120 people, do not go to Jerusalem. They had obeyed. They put their lives on the line because Jerusalem, you slew the prophets. Last time they were there, Jesus Christ got murdered. Didn't make sense going there either, but when they did, guess what happened? Fire came down out of heaven. Yahweh accepted a sacrifice. Yahweh's sacrifice was, or Yahushua's, and here it was, and what did they do? They spoke in tongues. Here it was. And so then it was, you're asking for help. I told you what to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4 and 14, verse 14. You've refused it. And got down. Okay. I was like, wow, that was a lot of information. Thanks. I'm just a jock. But anyways, but it was Mom's teaching. You better humble yourself. Or you will be humbled. Here are these wise people. Jesus, I was listening to another teaching. Who did Yahweh reveal his son to? It wasn't the wisey people stroking their beards in their mansions. It was shepherds, which would have been children. Children, the shepherds.
And women.
A woman, how old was she? I think she was a widow, 84 years since her virginity. I was doing the math, it's like 89 since her, she's like 103 years old. The only other time a woman's age is ever mentioned is Sarai, or Sarah's age. Do you know that in the Bible, that the only place, and you know why? I believe to prove it was a miracle birth. because Isaac was of miracle birth. And I think Yahweh put that in there. It could have been one of the reasons. Anyways, sorry. Luke chapter 8, verse 9. But you think about speaking in tongues, a circumcision for the Christians. But what did the circumcision do for the Jews, the Hebrews, the Ibris? It was a sign. It didn't give them power. Speaking in tongues makes you strong, perfect prayer, sacred secrets, gives thanks excellently, and what else? A sign to them, believer. Bow! You're rejecting the Ruach HaKodesh, the manifestation of it, right? If you don't want it, you don't have to have it. Luke chapter 8, verse 9. The sower explains. So the beginning of the parable, the sower, he's throwing seeds. Some of the seeds are going to go on the path. They're trodden down by the birds that are devouring it. And with this sharing tonight, I want you to think about the words. The seed is the word, right? If Yahweh tells you to do something, is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so how does he tell you? It's not always audible. You know what you're supposed to do. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. Or they have an idea. Go. Or you do this. And I believe if we're not careful, when Yahweh puts seeds in our life, what's going to happen? Birds. Something's going to attack it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next thing? Some fell upon the rock. Okay? And then the next is going to be among thorns. You get so much unbelief around your unbelievers that you're just going to discard. I got too much stuff. I have some people that I mentor. They're so busy, they're missing their life. No, I'm not missing my life. I'm succeeding. No, you're missing. You're getting a lot done. But here's Yahweh, and I'd like to think when Yahweh gives you a seed, it doesn't say the adversary has jurisdiction to harass us whenever he wants. But if he did, he's going to harass the seeds if he knew it was. You could think of that as birds and other things. Every time I think about this impossible thing, it drives me nuts. I don't want to get set. I don't want to set anybody up for failure or whatever your thing is, that all the cares of this world, whatever these things are going. It's good to be reasonable and think about things. But we should go back to go, where did this seed come from? If there's footprints to this thought, you go back and what in the world am I thinking about getting breast implants? I'm a man. That doesn't make sense. And you sit there and go, that doesn't make any sense. Oh yeah, I watched that weird documentary last night that I had to watch another thing. What did I just find out? There's thought prints, footprints going to it. But if you get something that flies in like a butterfly out of nowhere and it lands and it's still there. And then my dad and mom were really good at this when I was being reared up. If it's there 3 days later, if it's there a month later, you know what that is? That is Eli telling Samuel, oh, I got this one. come here, I got this. What is it? It's not me. Yahweh is speaking to you. And where was Samuel sleeping? You guys know where, you know where he's sleeping, right? Where?
In the temple.
Who is he sleeping with?
Yahweh.
His daddy. His daddy. Here he was. Samuel, come here. But here it was. There's a seed, and he's speaking to you guys through prophecies, through me, these other things. We'll come down, it says, I guess we don't necessarily have to go through it since we've been through this, but if you want to read the parable of the sower and the seed, the seed is the word. It's the written word, absolute number one, and then it's going to be the Ruach HaKodesh. It's going to be the Holy Spirit, and through encounters, through the hands and feet of Christ, messengers, whether celestial or terrestrial. That's how he communicates. And the thing is, if you think he's going to continue sending you messages, and I was reproving somebody, and out of my own mouth, I was convicted. I said, can you imagine President Trump calling you, and he's watching you on a video camera, and you do this? No answer? How many times is he going to do that? If he was watching you? Twice, maybe? How many times is Yahweh and his son going to send you a message? We don't know. Not that we are to live in fear, but we should be living ever expectant to say, speak, for your servant is listening. Who am I that you would take the time to speak to me? Speak! And please give me strength to do whatever you call me to do. I had that recently. I was praying. I said, correct me. And they went, no! Gently correct me. I don't want to learn the life the hard way anymore. I have learned hard things, and some of them were necessary. Some was that what you sow, you'll reap. But now I'm asking, please correct me, but do it gently, please, please. And if not, and why not? Why couldn't I ask that? And I never even thought about that. But here's the sower and the seed. We look at our examples. You can turn to Genesis 12, verse 1, of people receiving. I wanted to share something else. I had some other notes that I want to kind of digress, just a little tip with all of us to go and say, and this is new things for me too, so I'm not necessarily practicing what I'm preaching, but I see the necessity. Identify. Go humble yourself and say, show me what are your dreams. Why? Are you kidding me? You got a roommate, a husband, a wife that won't let his wife talk, or a wife who always squashes all his dreams, nothing's important. Can you imagine living with somebody like that? Yahweh, I repent. Speak. What are your dreams for this life? Does a husband and a wife have dreams for their marriage? A hopes? How much is Yahweh? And then be ready for possible birds. We don't need to identify who the birds necessary are. That anything that's going to resist his dreams. He's a God of peace. He'll confirm it. And it's going to be peaceful. And it will be there. It will sustain if you're humble. Be ready for the cares of this world to choke it out, to get distracted. Water it! The wicked, cowardly student. Well, I knew what his dream was. I put it right over there. Put it in a safety deposit box. That's what you did with my dream? Well, yeah. At least he, unlike me, identified a dream in this example. I don't know any of his dreams. Are you watering his dreams? Let's talk about your dreams. I have an idea. Let's talk about you. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? That's what you want me to do? Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Okay. You're speak freely. What else you want to do with this life? You want to do this too? Okay. Thank you. I'm going to water that. Thank you that your dreams come true in my life. And I'm going to speak faith over your dreams. How am I going to speak faith? I don't know. I'm kind of figuring this whole thing out. This is new to me. But your word says, the spoken word, the rhema, is powerful. Faith comes by hearing the rhema, the spoken word, right? I'm going to speak words of faith over your dream. Whatever you have for me is worth it. I owe my life to you. My life is not my own. I've been bought and paid for. I'm a slave. Let me not rebel. Second, you will make it worth my while. Oh my goodness, how will he do it? I don't know. So how do you tend to that soil? You have to figure out something that's worth doing it for. What would this mean? I have no idea. Find something. Tend to that soil. Tend to it and go, just come up with some sort of reasoning or excuse. Why would he want you to go to Jamaica? I don't know. That's not doing anything with it. But then if you sit there and all of a sudden you go, well, maybe there's a woman there who's going to die. And she's the beginning of a revival in Jamaica of power, a prophetic ministry, not with the traditions of man, that reads the word that's not ashamed of Yahweh's name, that it doesn't bow down to the altars. What if it was her? And then you do the same thing, whatever it is, and you cultivate it, and then Yahweh will work with you. How about a little bit of this? No, a little bit over here. Then you find something, and then whatever you get with your target, it's better than that. Now I got a reason to go. And what that does, it kind of takes care of the birds in your brain going, that didn't make sense. That didn't make sense. That's not whatever. We cultivate it. Abraham. What did Abraham do? In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Would somebody read that for me?
And Yahweh said unto Abram, come thou on thy way out of thy land and out of the place of thy birth, out of the house of thy father, unto the land which I will show thee.
How old is he? He's 75 years old. He's leaving a walled city. It was real important. My father recently introduced me to this, as he's studying ancient civilizations. Back then, there was no police department. There weren't armies. There was no insurances. You had nothing to really protect you except for the Hebrew word hesed, and that's where family could be everything, your tribe is everything, because you didn't have anything protecting you. There was no police going up and down the streets. There wasn't 911. What did you have? You had family, hesed, and then you had walled cities. And the walled city is what was going to... Because otherwise, you can imagine, where's all your life savings? Oh, right in that tent. Oh, really? That tent? That's where he lives? How old is he? Oh, he's 75. I'm 40. I'm 43 years old. I can take that guy. So the only thing between me and all that wealth is that. Yahweh told a 75-year-old man to leave a walled city. Well, where are we going? Did he ever tell him where he was going? It says that, I think it's in a Revelation or in Hebrews. He was looking for the city whose maker and builder was Yahweh. Where was it? Wherever Yahweh went. Can you imagine explaining? What if Sarah, now Sarah was on the top of the chart. She's in the Hall of Fame, the Mount Rushmore of faith. But can you imagine her going, where are we going? Yahweh said we're going that way. Into the walled city. You're 75. And the whole thing is that, does that make sense? No. Was that his dream? No, it was not his dream. It was somebody else's dream. Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, if you turn there real quick. An 80-year-old man minding his own business. Does he have children?
Yep.
Two sons. Does he have grandchildren? The text don't say, as far as I know. If I was an 80-year-old man tending to a flock with two kids, what would I be doing? I'd be like, when is Goshen going to have some kids? I need some grandkids. Or whatever you would have been thinking. If somebody would read, Mom, would you read that, please?
Verse 1?
Yeah, 1 through 2. No, 1 through 4.
Okay. Now Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, priest of Midian. So he led forth the flock behind the desert. So he led, and came in unto the mountain of Yahweh to Horeb. Then appeared the messenger of Yahweh unto him in a flame of fire from the midst of a thorn bush or bramble. So he looked, and lo, the thorn bush or bramble was burning with fire, and yet the thorn bush was not consumed. And Moses said, let me turn aside, pray, and see this great sight, why the thorn bush doth not burn up. And Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see, so Yahweh called unto him out of the midst of the thorn bush and said, Moses, or Moshe, Moses, and he said, behold me. And
right there he'd say, and Yahweh saw him turn. Our Elohim and his son have burning bushes everywhere. We have destinations. We have timelines. We have places we've got to go. We've got things we need to do. Without faith it is impossible to be well pleasing. Hebrews 11:6. Yahweh's wanting to know, are we going to make those times not just to be... But the checking on him and possibly his dreams. Because what's getting ready to happen here? A seed is getting ready to be deposited in Moses' life. Just like Sarah and Abram. Yeah, in verse 10, would you read that?
Now therefore come thou, that I may send thee unto Pharaoh, and bring thou forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt.
In 11 and 12.
Now therefore, and he said, I will be with thee, and this to thee shall be the sign that I have sent thee. When thou bringest forth the people out of Egypt, he shall do service unto Yahweh upon this mountain.
And so here it is. I want you to go start a war. A war with Egypt. Here's Pharaoh. People will make fun of Moses' response here. Moses' response is very mature. There's some legitimate obstacles here. I think that's tending to the soil. I think sometimes in my own life, I'm not even bringing it up because it's ridiculous. At least Moses is going, how can this be? I don't even speak well. Mm-hmm. Or what? And I think he's tending to the soil, and Yahweh's waiting for you and I to go to him and say, can you elaborate or explain a little bit more? And if we do it humbly, he'll do the same thing what he did with Moses. It says nobody was as patient as Moses. Ooh. Other translation will say is, I think it was meek or humble, but it's patient. And what happens next is that Yahweh starts telling him, I got a dream for your life, Moses. Wait a minute, I got plans. Moses is a very smart guy. And you mean I got to give up all this? That's not what Yahweh said. Yahweh told him three, it was a festival for how long? Was it 3 weeks or 3 days? I think 3 days and three nights. That's it. I'll just have to put that Jamaican cruise on hold. I have to tell my wife in Goshen, you know, we have to postpone those things for 3 days, right? And obviously it didn't work out that way. I wonder how many other people could have been Moses. They're not going to tend to the dream. They're not going to do it. They're not going to go figure and work it out. Abram, what did he do? And you can imagine, here's our leaders. The book of Hebrews 11, of endurance and uncertainty for faith would be the word, is what did Yahweh tell Abraham to look at when he was spending time with him?
Oh, the stars, yeah.
And what was the discussion? Well, we don't have to go there. I have all the scriptures written down. And what were the discussions when Abraham was looking at the stars? It was Yahweh's dream. Yahweh's dream was for a race of people and a miracle child to come who would be a type of Mashiach and a type of anointed one. Who would be an example to his own son when he read the scriptures. A miracle child being born to a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. You can't do that. It's impossible. And then on Mount Moriah, 3 days and three nights, he was as good as dead. And the father believed in a resurrection. He said, I and the lad will return. And he carries the wood up. Yahweh's looking. What was Yahweh's dream? We get to see what his dream was through Abraham. And actually, with some of the greatest ones, we don't know what the other dreams were until when you get so devoted to Yahweh, all of a sudden, there's not a whole lot of discrepancies with the greatest ones that are out there. And who had the most fulfilling life there is? See, the purpose of our life, your life, and my life is to orbit our Creator and to do whatever He wants. That's the purpose. The good news is He's incredible. He will bless you and me above anything. He'll give you the desires of your heart, it says in Proverbs. But you got to get to work. There's a saying, and this could be inaccurate saying, but I think for this purpose it could be. There's a saying that says if your dreams don't scare you or challenging you, you're dreaming too small. And within reason. It's somebody who didn't graduate high school is not going to be a physicist. I knew a guy who didn't like school, and he wouldn't go to class. He got D's only because he showed up to class and he told him, I'm going to be a doctor. I go, what kind of doctor are you talking about being? Well, I'm going to be a physician. I went, Okay, within reason. In his case, I go, you don't like school. You're never going to be a medical physician. But with Yahweh's dreams, it doesn't have to be reason. And does he have a right to share with you what he has for you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And the same thing with me. And if you don't find something, how do you know it's Yahweh's dream? One could be, it is overwhelmed. This makes no sense. Me going to Africa the first time, that was not my dream. Anybody that knows me, everybody else has known me afterwards, they think, well, that's your MO. You love to travel. I'm like, what people don't know is I was scared out of my mind. I was going broke. I don't like to eat other people's food. I can't sleep on anything but a very expensive mattress. And I need a gym. I got to work out. What are you going to do? Send me to the jungles of Africa? That doesn't make any sense. I got a brother who's a... He likes sleeping on concrete. He slept on concrete one night in his garage. He likes dirty stuff. He likes eating weird things. I've seen him eating frogs and testicles and raw deer meat. Send that guy. But he didn't pick that guy. He picked this guy. And I felt like I was being picked on. The good thing with me is I was at the end of the rope. I couldn't get one new client to do anything. Yahweh closed all the doors. Okay, I'll talk about this thing. Okay, and what did I do? Reluctantly, probably cowardly a little bit. Let me show you the books. Look at the books. I haven't told anybody about it because Yahweh's my sufficiency. And I wanted clarity. I'm looking, and it's not working. But I said, I will not go. Because I would be a bad steward. I'll throw away the whole business, taking care of a lot of different people, unless you trump it, because it doesn't make sense. And what did I do? I went and knocked on the door to my brother-in-law, and I said, will you give me a prophecy? Pray for me. And guess what happened? Yahweh came in just so gentle. Why are you doubting me, man? Have I not always been a good father to you? Come on. And all the pressure was gone. Now my whole MO is traveling and going places. And I was telling somebody who I'm trying to help, who's afraid to talk to Yahweh about anything like that, I go, you don't understand. Everything that's great about me wasn't my idea. My ideas stink. But when I go with him and we do things, I look incredible. And then it's not about the way I look. I catch on fire. It's the reason why I get up in the morning. I have to get more of that. It's a drug would be a good example, but that is what Yahweh's waiting. How come I don't have that now? You gotta walk out in faith to get to walk on water. You gotta speak out and get out of the boat. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 and 9. This one's really important. If you don't have some sort of thing lingering in the back of your mind that intimidates you, that you're trying to run away from, like me from Africa, nope, not me, not going, then there's a chance that you have closed your ears and your eyes. Jesus Christ says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Their ears were closed. He who has eyes to see. And it could be that you go, I don't have anything big. Like Aaron says, Yahweh, open my ears and my eyes, and you know what he might tell you? You're already on it. I am? Yeah. Yes! And would that honor him to give you a high five to say, you're already doing it? You know how much that would bless him? Just checking in with you. My dad just got down to the hospital. As they're leaving, I heard that they gave him a thank you card. They all signed it. Did that bless him? Yeah. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. Can somebody read that?
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, not your ways, my ways, declareth Yahweh. For higher are the heavens than the earth, so higher are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow descend from the heavens and thither do not return, except they have watered the earth and caused it to bring forth and bud, and given seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the whereunto I have assented.
The context is Yahweh's word. It's not just the written word, it's anything. When Jesus Christ says, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Was that the word? Yeah, that's the word. But his words and his ways, his dreams are higher than what? Higher are the heavens and the earth, so higher are my ways than your ways. Have you identified any of those highways? I'm working on it. I need to do a lot more. His thoughts. How do you know it's his thought? I don't know. Before this stirring, I have an incredible life. I live a blessed, disciplined life, but I'm thinking that I'm missing some stuff. If not for his sake, I don't want to miss the mark. You missed your chance? You ever missed your chance before?
Yep.
Wait, that was my chance? I remember you guys raised me and be like, send it again. And my dad did a teaching on Peter. He believed that Peter missed a chance or something, or he had made a mental commitment to go, the next time I get an opportunity, I'm going to do it. Now, which makes sense. But I believe, what are his thoughts? They're higher. What dreams are there? And maybe you already know something. Great. Identify it. Bring it back to him and say, have you ever had that? Somebody left something at your house? A coffee cup? A shoe? A sock? Who's in this? Oh, I gotta leave it out here because I gotta find out who it belongs to. When you find out, is this your dream? Was this your wallet? And he's sitting there going, man, I've been waiting, Aaron. Let's talk about this. And this could be like a Moses thing. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. The greatest stories. As with Nehemiah.
I don't remember where it is.
480.
Isn't that Nehemiah, Joshua, Judges?
No. Ezra Nehemiah, Esther, Job.
Nehemiah, a wealthy businessman. Oh, this is beautiful. We won't read the whole account, but I would encourage people to read it because it's neat. He's a cupbearer to the king. And I heard a teaching John Shanhite did. He says that John Shanhite, footnote, that when you were to go before a king, you couldn't go in there with sad faces and stuff. You weren't supposed to bring your garbage in. You're supposed to be... And he pointed out that even when the Queen of Sheba came, she was, look how happy you're, there's a chance that they might not have been so happy because he was taxing the heck out of them. But you don't have a, you better smile. You're inside here in the Oval Office or something. There's a chance. And so, but what happens with Nehemiah is the king looks at his face and he goes, what is this, Nehemiah? This is nothing but sadness of heart. What is it? Which starts the beginning of something. Would somebody read, Dad, would you read 5? Just 5 and stop at 6.
Chapter 1?
Yeah, 1.
Then said unto the king, if unto the king...
No, chapter 1, verse 5.
Oh, that was 2.
I did say 2. I went off course again.
I beseech you, O Yahweh, Elohim of the heavens, the great and merciful El, keeping the covenant and has said for them who love him and keep his commandments.
And say, what a heart this guy had when he went before Yahweh. And it came, so then what happens with Nehemiah? He gets permission to go rebuild the wall. And as he's rebuilding the wall, he's harassed the whole time. And I like to think of that. Whose dream was to build the wall?
Yahweh's.
Chapter and verse, or is this speculation?
Speculation.
We did it. Whose dream was it? Chapter 2, verse 11. Would somebody read that?
So I entered Jerusalem and was there 3 days.
Then rose I by night, I and a few men with me, I having told no man what my Elohim had been putting in my heart. It was not his idea to leave his comfortable life. When he found out how bad it was, it broke his heart. He didn't want to go there. It wasn't his idea. Who's going to pay for it? You're going to pay for it, Nehemiah. He did it. And he has a prayer in here going, remember Yahweh. Remember, it's Yahweh's assets anyways. I used everything I had. For what purpose? Your dream. What a sweet, savoring sacrifice. What aroma can there be if we obey for his dream? Not my will, but thy will. And here this man is harassed, the adversary, through people say, hey, come, let us build with you, for our God is your God. And he said, no. So you could have dreams. Yahweh goes, not with the unbeliever, not with the fornicator, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Not with a drunkard, not with an extortioner. No. Now you repent, we'll talk a little bit later. But here was Yahweh's dream, you're not getting in Yahweh's dream. There's a spiritual war going on. And what happened? Oh my goodness, he's sued by the ACLU. I think this is where the ACLU started. Because they hired attorneys and sued him and sued him and sued him. Didn't say those words. But he hired counselors. And the whole book, holy moly, this poor guy, somebody give him a parade. Kelly Robinson got a parade. No, he didn't. They get that one away. That's from I Spy. Anyways, it was Yahweh's dream in Nehemiah. And Yahweh used his asses, and here's his book. I guarantee you one thing, not one thing. I guarantee you, the greatest stories that we have at the end of their days, before they went to sleep, did you regret any act of obedience? What do you think King David would say? Mm-hmm. Abraham, Isaac,
Moses,
Sarah, Rebecca, Jeremiah. Whose dream was Jeremiah's?
Wasn't his.
Hosea's. Hello? Do you think you got a hard dream? And it's not this. Not that. Oh, I don't want those type of dreams or whatever. But no, when you work on it. And the thing is, with all this, as we think his ways are higher, it's you to be a steward of your dreams. You're going to be held accountable. Where's a great throne judgment? Is it 2 Corinthians 5 or 1 Corinthians 5? The white throne judgment. It's going to pass through the fire. We're saved by favor. That's true. What'd you do with the rest of your life? Holy moly, you burned up a lot of seeds. Those were his? I thought that was spam and junk mail. No. You got that one. Oh, I got one. Got two. But the idea is, what did you do with your life? What did you do with his dreams? Did you cultivate them? Are you overwhelmed? You should be overwhelmed. Because his ways are higher than your ways. Right? If those dreams are too small, or they don't scare you, your dream is too small. Abraham, what did he do? What did Yahweh do with Abraham? To get his mind off of the surroundings. He hasn't had a son. Sarah's not pregnant. She's getting older. 25 years is a long time, man. I've been waiting 12. 25. Holy moly, it's double. Nothing. Nothing can be taken that Yahweh can't restore tenfold. He will make everything worthy. He will reward you and me above and beyond anything we can think of or even understand. It says in Ephesians. But you got to cultivate it with your mouth and speak faith. And then walk out. And then fight. And don't be a coward. Abraham, look at the stars. E.W. Bullengirls says, why is he looking at stars? Because the word of Yahweh was written in the stars first. And that's how the wise man, the Magi, knew where Jesus Christ was when he was being born. At first, before Moses put it in ink, it was in the stars. And Yahweh was telling his servant, who didn't have other people to look at yet, look at the stars. Look at my word. I did all this. Can I not put a seed and a sperm or an egg? Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And he's telling you and I to do the same thing. Look at his stars. Look at Abraham. Look at Peter. Look at the apostle Paul, shipwrecked. How many times was this guy beat? He wouldn't quit on Yahweh's dreams and Yahushua's dreams. Step one, find it. Step two, cultivate it. Step three, take care of it. And let's see here. That's it. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for it tonight. And we thank you for these words. I thank you for showing us we got one shot at this, one shot, one life. We thank you for those second and third shots to help us hear your word and your dreams. And if we are already achieving these things, we thank you that you will give us confirmation through your written word and through the confirmation through peace, through the Ruach HaKodesh of the Holy Spirit. Know, my children, that I am a perfect father and my plans are perfect. You cannot understand the Milky Way galaxy. How can you understand my plans for your life? I don't overwhelm you with the details. If I did, it would crush you and you would die of anxiety the way a hamster would die of stress if you let it loose inside of an airplane. But I give you the information that you need to know for your own sake. Consider it a privilege when I keep it simple for you so you don't have to let it stress you out or distract you. Amen.
Amen.